In our sermon series up to now, we've been reading only history, the action-packed accounts of God's people journeying to become a great nation. And we've heard about those great Old Testament characters that God called out to lead them. Our two Old Testament readings this morning introduce us to two new kinds of biblical writing, poetry and wisdom literature, the Psalms and Proverbs. The Psalms are essentially poetry written to express deep truths about God and his world. The person who wrote many of the Psalms was King David, who was both a poet and a gifted musician. Many come to be used in worship, and we know that, for at the heading of some Psalms are instructions for the director of music. The themes the Psalms cover are many and various, and sometimes have been written following life events, reflecting highs and lows, which is something we all face, which is why the Psalms are loved by so many people. And they express to God a whole range of emotions and feelings, some of which may surprise us, but is a reminder that we can come to God as we are and tell it as it is. There are Psalms which pleased with God, that appeal for forgiveness or the destruction of enemies. There are Psalms which pray for the king, and Psalms like 119 which celebrate and speak of the importance of God's word and law. And of course, there are Psalms which praise God for who he is. Psalm 23, which Liz read for us, is probably one of the best known and best loved Psalms, where David compares God to a shepherd, a job he had personally experienced. A shepherd both looks after and protects his sheep. No matter what happens, the shepherd stays with his sheep and actively looks out for them. And this is what David did as a shepherd and believes is how God acts towards us, looking out for us, wanting the best for us, is even there in the dark and difficult times, and so can be completely trusted. And so David can sing, "Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And of course, in the New Testament, we discover Jesus calls himself the Good Shepherd. When life's good, the birds are singing, the sun is shining, it's easy to sing out God's praise. But life's not always like that. Stuff happens, and sometimes we wonder where God is. David at times felt just like that. Psalm 70 begins, "Hasten, O Lord, and save me. Come quickly, Lord, to help me. Many those who want to take my life, but put to shame my confusion." But having poured out his heart in such a personal way to God, he can end knowing all he knows about God by saying, "You are my help and my deliverer. Lord, do not delay." David, although a great king under whose leadership the Israelites flourished, sadly, as we heard last week, God gave into temptation and committed adultery with Bathsheba, and by devious scheming tried to cover up, but was found out and was confronted with his sin. And Psalm 51 is his confession, for he knew sin got in the way of his relationship with God, and he was burdened with guilt. And so he cries out, "Have mercy on me, O God." David doesn't try to rationalize his actions or blame Bathsheba for bathing where he could see her. No, he speaks honestly of his transgression and iniquity. That is true confession, taking responsibility and admitting how we've disobeyed God. David's plea is to be made clean. "Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." We cannot remove the stain of sin on our own. Only God can do that, and ultimately through Jesus' death on the cross. David asks for mercy. He confesses his faults and asks for forgiveness. And he too asks for a new beginning. Create in me a pure heart, O God. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. We should be thankful for David's prayer of confession, for it's an example of real repentance. David didn't just confess his sin, but asked God to create in him a pure heart. And that is also about having the right motives and attitudes in our thoughts, words, and deeds. It was what David knew of God and his character which gave him the confidence to confess as he did. And he expresses that in Psalm 103 when he sings out, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, all that my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." And then he goes on to reel off a whole list: who forgives, heals, redeems, satisfied, is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. I encourage you later today, perhaps, to sit with a drink and read Psalm 103 and all that David can praise God for, which of course is why he can ultimately trust him. If David gave us the Psalms, then Solomon gives us the Proverbs, a book of wise sayings known as wisdom literature, which is practical advice packaged in short, pithy sayings. It sets out right and wrong, because wisdom in Proverbs is based on reverence for God and obedience to his law. The fear of the Lord, as it says in chapter 1 and verse 7, is the essence of all human wisdom, and is repeated again in chapter 2. That doesn't mean being frightened by God, but that we should hold him in awe. Proverbs applies the principles of God's teaching to the whole of life, to relationships, home, work, justice, and much, much more. Solomon, when he was made king, was young and felt inadequate for the task. And so we discover in 1 Kings chapter 3, he asks God, verse 9, to give him a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. God was pleased with Solomon's request and replied, "Since you have asked for this, and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart, so there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be." Wisdom is the foundation for godly living. And of course, Paul reminds us in writing to the Corinthians that Jesus is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Or to put it another way, Jesus is wisdom personified. Some proverbs we read need to be read through the long lens of history, for we do not beat our children with rods. Indeed, if we did, we'd find ourselves in court for brutality. But the underlying truth about guiding and disciplining children is a parent's responsibility. There's also a number of proverbs about nagging wives, but that might have been only because husbands had failed to listen. As I close, let me share some of the wisdom from Proverbs. The righteous care about justice for the poor, but the wicked have no such concern. Do not let your heart envy sinners, but always be zealous for the fear of the Lord. Those who guard their mouths and their tongues keep themselves from calamity. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down into the inmost parts. The way of fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. A hot-tempered person stirs up conflict, but the one who is patient calms a quarrel. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. David in the Psalms and Solomon in the Proverbs have given us riches to delve into, to aid our worship and for godly living. I do encourage you to read them, for as Psalm 1 reminds us, the one who is blessed is the one who delights in the law of the Lord and meditates on it day and night.